That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning, Remnant. Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live this September 1st. 9/1/18 is how the calendar reads this morning. Welcome to September. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. And good morning, Tim.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Glad to be here.
Thanks for joining us from over there in central Nebraska. And good morning, Brother John.
Good morning.
And we say good morning to you, the remnant, again. And good morning, Lord Jesus. What a beautiful sunrise you gave us here this morning. Just the beautiful orange glow. I don't know if you guys got to see it this morning, but it sure was here. And, you know, in prayer this morning, I was reminded to thank the Lord for this day. What a beautiful start to the day that He gave us. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And do our very best this day to glorify Him and to encourage one another. Well, John, if you'll open us up in prayer, we'll get on with the program here.
Sure. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for this day. We thank You for all the many blessings. Father, we thank You for this time that You set aside for us to get together across the country and even in different places throughout the world, Lord. And we know that that's Your provision through miracle of shortwave. Father, we thank You for WTWW, and we thank You for the engineers that work tirelessly to keep this old antiquated equipment up and running. Father, we thank You that You are the authority over all things, and we take authority in the name of Jesus Christ over the airwaves this morning, Lord, that the prince of the air, which is the devil that the Bible talks about, would be bound this morning. And that this program and all the programs that go out on WTWW would go out without hindrance in the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that through those broadcasts that you would send your ministering angels to those that need ministering to prepare their hearts and minds and souls to remove the crust from their hearts that the world has placed there over many years, and Lord, just to give them insight into the truth of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is our purpose here on this earth, is to fulfill the Great Commission and to spread that gospel. So, Father, we do ask now as we see where more and more we see the signs of the last days, and Lord, we just ask for grace and mercy and your wrath to be upon your people. Father, we pray for discernment. We pray for an understanding, hearing, and hearkening heart that we would be able to hear from the Holy Spirit and do what it is that you would have us to do in your service. Father, cleanse us of our impurities. We know that it's nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ that can cleanse us and heal us and protect us. We thank you for the provisions that you've made for your people through immersion baptism to contact that blood. Where we go into that watery grave, we're born again of the water and the Spirit, we're clothed with Christ, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and it's the only place, the only way to get your name into that Lamb's Book of Life. Father, help us to realize that with great reward comes great responsibility. We are not only Christians, but we are Christian followers of Jesus Christ. We are Jedi. We are Jesus' disciples. And that is a huge responsibility to be in the battle. The battle that we face is spiritual, Lord, just as your word says in Ephesians and 2 Corinthians, that we do not war against flesh and blood, but we war against those principalities and the high places, evil wickedness. Father, we take authority over those situations, the authority that you've given us in the name of Jesus Christ, and not by any means by our own authority. We call for those guardian angels to be about your people, to protect
yes,
them.
Lord.
And Father, we call for those warring angels to battle Leviathan in the high places, as we know that evil knows that its time is limited and that they've ramped up their attacks upon our people. But Father, we know that your promise is there, that you will not let them tempt us past what we are able to bear, and that we can always turn down evil, and we can always go for righteousness, Lord. Our goal is to be righteous in your sight,
yes,
righteous in your kingdom. So guide and direct us this morning, Lord, to the stories that are important to your people, the things that affect your people, and show us how they tie in to Scripture. Bless your people, the remnant, Lord. Bless them and keep them. Make your face shine upon them and be gracious to them. Lift up your countenance to them and grant them your peace. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank
Amen.
You, Lord.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Well, plenty going on. Did see one headline this, yesterday, about President Trump and the Canadian, what do you call him, the Prime Minister, talking about NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement, and basically could not come to terms. Was the headline that I saw. No agreement was made to continue it. No agreement was made to, continue the treaty, continue the alliance. Saw one quote that President Trump had said, hey, I like the Canadians, but they know how I feel about trade. 'Cause it's a businessman that we have up there now, and he's in the business of making America great again. And, it just was, to me, it was encouraging to see that. It was encouraging for me to see that You know, it's not just the same old anymore. You know, this North American Free Trade Agreement that we've been under for, what, 15 years now, 18, 20 years, has not been good for America. It has not at all. And it you know, there's been rumors and there's been, oh, this is going to change and whatnot. And hopefully now we're seeing some of that, that change, you know, for our betterment.
A week ago, that Mexico took the same, or maybe 2 weeks ago, Mexico took the same position as Canada, you know, that, well, we're not going to play that game, you know, and walk away from the table. Well, I got news for you. The United States is the most blessed nation in the history of the world. That's
yes.
What God said, and through us, we would bless all the other nations, the true JERUSALAM. And they realize that, you know, in Mexico, we made a deal with Mexico. It's kind of interesting. The tariffs that are changing by getting rid of NAFTA. I'm pretty sure NAFTA is done. Now it's a matter of whether Canada needs to renegotiate a new deal regarding trade. I know that NAFTA with Mexico is done. And but I guess what I was trying to get to was the... it's just encouraging to see us leverage the blessings that God's given us and not let the bureaucrats who, you know, that NAFTA made a lot of people rich.
It did.
Big business owners who sold out their employees, many that have worked for the companies for many years, and sent the work over to Mexico and Canada and things like that. In fact, I mean, for a while there, if you looked at manufacturing on your vehicle, whether it was a Ford or a Chevy or a Dodge or Toyota, whatever it was, almost everything was assembled in Mexico or with parts from Canada. And
right. That
totally decimated states like Michigan and Ohio and not to mention steel industries in Pennsylvania. And I mean, those are blue-collar people. Those are, for the most part, those are our people that work hard and, you know, built these companies for these rich owners, and they completely sold them out. Bill Clinton was a big part of that whole deal. And, you know, the people, some realized it at the time. I remember Dad talking about what a wicked, evil deal it was, but for the most part, our people are naive, and I think they trust the politicians way too much, although the Obamanation administration has caused a lot of people to wake up, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, we've seen how much there's a lot of these things going on, just like this renegotiation with Mexico and the EU and the ongoing situation with China. God's people, you know, we're told that God blesses his people. And when we see that those people were giving our blessings away, they were casting pearls before the swine. I mean, there's a whole bunch of biblical references there to giving the children's bread to the dogs, things like that were going on there. You know, 300% tariffs for things that we export while we can import it for less than that, and we could make it here, and then we wondered why all the money and all the manufacturing and everything else was taken out of the country, and we're seeing it come back. And of course, a lot of these pundits, they want to carry on about how there's such a thing of upheaval here and you know, how financially the markets, and a lot of them just want to talk about things like the stock market and stuff, and that's not real people. I mean, or those sort of things. As indicators go, they may be useful on a national or on an international scale, but you know, when you start talking about things like take-home pay, and housing costs and stuff, those are the things that affect real people that that actually need to worry about it. And we're seeing those things improve. Of course, they're crying as the housing market is falling price-wise. That's not all a bad thing. There's some equalization going on there. And yes, it's going to be hard, and there's going to be some collateral damage among the speculators. Cry me a river. When you have rank and file people out there that can't afford a home, you know, I mean, 60-year payments on a on an average blue-collar home, it's like, really? So, you know, there's a whole bunch of things there that are equalizing and coming back around. And yeah, it's going to be a little bumpy because it's certainly been bumpy in the past for like John said, blue collar workers who were like, how are we going to pay the electric bill this, you know, this month? How are we going to take care of our children? And it takes a little bit of work to get everything back around the right way, but I think that we're seeing improvement. And I love the way Nancy Pelosi used that word, crumbs. You know, well, it's just a bunch of crumbs.
Well, to her it is. You know, to her and her cronies, it is crumbs. You know?
Yeah.
It reminds me of the famous quote, you know, given to, who was it, Marie Antoinette from France. Oh, let them eat cake. You know, they have no bread to eat. They have no food to eat. Oh, let them eat cake. See, I think that crumb comment shows the disconnect between the elites, the people that that think that their poop don't stink, so to speak, and that you know that they just have the right to make the decisions that they think the way things ought to be. And
she's finding out that it does stink, though.
That's right. That's right. They are finding that out, you know, and I think that shows it, though, and I hope that is something that will help the people wake up to, John, like you mentioned about seeing the Obama administration, and how that you know those politicians don't have our best interest at heart, and they are hell bent on destroying this country, you know, change. We had once had the best, like you said, the most blessed country, people that were the apple of his eye, and even in our, you know, even in our hard times, more blessed than any other country. Let's change that. Was the motto of the left, you know? Let's change it, and they're still hell bent on that. We've talked about they're fine with pushing socialism, talking about socialism. This new little whatever her name is, Maria Cortez, that's coming up. They're absolutely socialist, and Bernie Sanders, they're proud of it. They're proud of it. They've kind of come out of the closet, you might say.
If you look at Venezuela and Argentina, that's the blueprint that they used.
Right,
Ocasio-Cortez and those individuals. I mean, it's like, you know, there's the roadmap that turnoff takes you.
It does. And, you know, they've asked Cortez, they push and they scream to these millennials and to anybody that'll listen that, oh, you know, free tuition and free medical care. Everyone deserves free medical care. How can you dare deny medical care to this beautiful little, is their terms, you know, Maria Conchez Mocatarita, you know, that came across the border and struggled, and she deserves all this stuff. And they keep pounding and pounding all these free benefits that people deserve this and deserve an education and deserve a great place to live. And several times people, you know, they'll sneak in and say, well, how are you going to pay for that? How are you going to pay for that? And they change the subject automatically because they don't know. They don't know. They don't care because they're not wanting just these benefits. They're wanting destruction. And it's lies that they put out. You know, that filthy pervert up in Vermont that's the Democratic governor candidate is a transgender, pedophile, cross-dressing, depraved mind pervert. And he's pushing, $15 an hour minimum wage and free health care for everybody, free higher education for everybody. And they did the same thing to him. How are you going to pay for that? Who pays for that? And see, they have no concept of the blue collar, the working man and woman now that have, you know, been the foundation of this, the foundation of the economics of this country, that have been working and paying taxes, and that's dwindling. You know, when you start looking at statistics and the number of people, as these baby boomers, they call, are retiring in mass amounts, or at least semi-retiring, and not you know, maybe not working the full-time jobs they had, still, you know, swinging coffee at the coffee shop, or you know, having to work to get a little money in, but there's a whole lot less taxes that are being paid as this goes on. And as more and more of the people are unemployed, more benefits being paid out, less taxes coming in, you know, that has been a recipe for disaster. You know, that's why we say things are looking better. When the economy is better, when the GDP, the gross domestic product, is increasing, when we see hundreds of thousands of fewer people on SNAP and food stamps, that's better. That shows that upturn. And like you mentioned, Tim, that, you know, a correction in the housing, certainly that has to happen. And who does that hurt? The speculators. That hurts those that you know, are counting on those prices going up and up and up. It doesn't hurt the families out there that are trying to get affordable housing, that are trying to work two and three jobs to pay, you know, for that little house instead of renting. And so it.
I think,
you know,
one of the byproducts of this deal with Mexico is, I read an article the other day that one of Trump's promises, you know, that they laughed at him about, was that he was going to get Mexico to pay for the wall. Well, in reality,
yes,
by saving, you know, $400 billion over 10 years or whatever, the cost of building the wall is about $250 billion. So, in reality, he did get Mexico to pay for the wall.
Sure.
And boy, that just makes liberals' heads explode.
It does. It does. Hey guys, let's see the phone line ringing. Let's take a call. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning. You were talking before about all these people that come across the border and want to change our country. You know, they always want to change everything that's here. If this country is the way it is, we like it. They should go back and they should fix their country instead of coming over here and trying to make ours different.
Amen.
I agree.
Amen. I think those in California.
That's the only comment I have.
Well, thanks for that comment. I think those in California should listen to that as well. You know, they have totally destroyed that state, and then they move out here and south of us into Colorado, and to other states, and they want to change those states to make them like California.
Yeah. Why didn't they stay there and fix that the
way
they like it?
It makes no sense. It's because they are destroyers. Our pastor taught. Absolutely. They're not builders of civilization. They are destroyers. And we have to remember that sometimes, that there's, you know, Western man, Christian civilization is a builder. It is a builder. Christianity is a builder of civilization. It always has. You know, Western man, which is what we are, that's kind of how history looks at us, has always been a builder. Came to this country. When they settled Europe and pushed through Europe and pushed the barbarians out, settled that country, built civilizations, created written histories that we still have, builders of civilizations. You look at the other peoples of the world, and they are not so much builders but destroyers, especially these parasites that have come up now. That's what they are. They are destroyers.
Well, thanks. And that makes me feel better. They are.
They are. Hey,
so they should go back to their country and finish doing what they want to do.
That's right.
Thank you.
Thank you. You know, the Bible says, I forget where, but it. I remember Pastor, when he taught on it, first time I'd ever heard it, and I just don't remember exactly where it is, but it talks about a time that the foreigner will return to his own country. You know, that the alien or the foreigner will, they'll go back. They will return to their own country. And they may be climbing the wall or digging tunnels or whatever, but it's going to be to go the other way and not to come here. And I look forward to that day. Because they don't come to build. They don't come. That's the thing. See, the enemy has changed our history, at least how it's taught. And you'll hear things like melting pot. Oh, this country was built on immigration. Yes, it was built on immigration, but not invasion. And that's what's going on here. You know, when the Celtic, Germanic, Scandinavian, and kindred people left the European nations, one from a town and two from a city, as the Bible says, and came and settled this country, they came to be Americans. They came to learn the language. Certainly they, you know, we have still the Scotch-Irish and the Dutch and the German and that those influences into this country, but they came to learn the language, to assimilate, to build a better life in this country. And we've talked about like language. When you read back in the true history of the 1800s, 1900s, and even the 1700s, when those similar immigrants came over, they might have spoke Dutch at home or German or something like that. But the next generation that came up, that they raised up, they learned English. They learned American, you might say, and that's what they spoke, and that's what they assimilated into, you know, bringing, of course, their positives, but they assimilated into that. And that's not what we have going on today, folks. We have an invasion going on where the borders have been open, where these people that come from the Middle East are not the tired, the poor, the huddled masses. No, they are the young Antichrist young men that are coming over, that are like the locust of Joel, that are eating our produce, that are taking our benefits, that are killing our people. That Molly Tibbetts comes to mind, killed by that illegal Hispanic alien just a couple weeks ago. And that happens way too often, all the time. It's an invasion.
They don't hear about it.
No, they don't. It's an invasion. And, you know, I read into that Molly Tibbetts thing. It's terrible. I prayed and all that. But, you know, there were other pictures that came up of, just not a Christian lifestyle that led to that on her part as well. And you know, Hosea says, you forget my law, I'll forget your children. And that needs to be on billboards across this country, because our children have been forgotten by God as a nation.
Yeah, but largely it's the parents' fault for the way Absolutely. That they brought them up.
Too. Absolutely.
But it's, you know, yep. It all goes back to the churches in reality. Just like Dad used to tell us, it was the churches, it was the preachers that affected the morality of the people. And when the churches became acceptant and tolerant of sin, when they're like, oh, well, that's okay if they want to be homosexual, that's okay if they want to live together out of marriage, you know, all of these things are just what you said. It's the parents have forgotten the children first.
It is.
And then
it is.
God's promise is there. But I
promise
think
is
one
true.
Thing that's interesting is the Europeans are now saying that none of us are French, none of us are German, none of us, you know, because we were immigrants too. And it's like, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, and in the military times this week, there was a four-star general, Terence O'Shaughnessy, was speaking, and one of the things he said struck me, and this ties in with what we're talking about, but he said that, quote, we're in a changing security environment. We used to think about the sanctuary we had with oceans and friendly countries to our north and south, but that's changing with adversaries that are actually able to reach out and touch us now. And so we have to think about our defense in different ways than we have in the past. And we need to fundamentally rethink, when we say homeland defense, how we're going to do that against a peer competitor. What they're talking about is the fact that the U.S. is no longer the word that they used was a sanctuary. The U.S. homeland is no longer a sanctuary, according to this general. And
For its people. For its people.
Exactly. Yeah. And I disagree. And if you go back to 2 Samuel 23, it was David's last song. And 5, 6, and 7 in there says, truly is not my house so with God, for he has made an everlasting covenant with me, ordered in all things and secured. For all my salvation and all my desire, will he not indeed make it grow, but the worthless. And I think that, you know, that every one of them will be thrust away like thorns, because they cannot be taken in hand. But the man who touches them must be armed with iron in the shaft of his spear, and they will be completely burned with fire in their place. And I think there's some tie-in in some of these things that we see these days about these people. They're coming up, they're illegal aliens coming in here, and just like the free, everybody owes them something.
Yes.
But in a lot of these instances, for example, they have free health care in the countries that they came from. They come from these socialist, communist countries, and they have all the things that they're saying that they want us to do up here and that we owe them and everything else. And if that's the case, why are they here? I mean, it's like, you know, because it doesn't work. That's why. So it's not that they came up here for another shot of to get back to what it was like or supposed to be like before, but they came up here as it's a form of asymmetric warfare. They were sent out to poison the well, so to speak, everywhere else. And I think we see that covenant. It's not going to happen. I mean, it's whatever happens, there may be some short-term collateral damage as a result of the battle, but they can't win the war. I mean, we have
right.
God's promises, and we have to turn to him. So, and I think that that's what we're going to see. We can pass all of the rules that we want to, but until to truly make America great again, and we've said this, and it still needs, the bell needs to be rung again, is we've got to turn back to God and do it God's way. God says, the steward is the steward over what God gives him, and the worker is worth his hire, and we're responsible to God for what we do with it. And when we learn that lesson, you know, we rise. And I think that this is the stick, one of the lessons that we've seen. Don't forget me, I'll forget you. I mean, we see all these things going on, and it's an opportunity to ring the bell for our Lord and Savior.
You know what's encouraging to me, though, is we know that God's still in charge, right? And he's still on his throne, and I think he gives us little reminders of that from time to time, like this week, son of Cain passing away.
Yes.
McCain, everybody tries to paint him as this war hero. Well, I judge him by his fruits. And, it's kind of funny. They tip their hat. They show us exactly. They fold their cards and they show us exactly their hand, because who was it that son of Cain invited to speak at his funeral? Obama Nation.
Exactly.
Joe Biden. Was he not a Republican? He said he was.
Yes.
He said he was.
Run as a Republican? But what was he? He was a stinking traitor, Democrat, liberal, globalist. That's exactly what the hell he was, and that's exactly what he represented. So that, in my opinion, is a sign from God that, hey, I know you see all this going on, but remember, I'm in control. All you have to do, just as Deuteronomy 28 said, verses 1 through 15, keep my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And all of these things I will take care of. And when you talk to these younger generations, millennials and stuff, they're so stinking indoctrinated into thinking that the world is going to come to an end because we're using all the resources and we're going to run out of oil and water and everything else. And I said, do you not realize that God promised us if we just did these couple things, we wouldn't have to worry about any of it? And
that's
they
right.
can't get it. They just cannot fathom the fact that there's a heavenly father that will take care of his people if we're obedient to him.
Amen.
It's frustrating.
Amen.
It is. It is. They, well, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You know, praise God, his word is true. His word is true. You know, it's interesting when you talk about McCain. You know, they died from, him and Kennedy died from the same cancer exactly 9 years apart on August 25th, because Kennedy died August 25th, 2009. We did a short article in the last newsletter on the book and the movie Chappaquiddick, the story of Kennedy, basically what kept him out of the presidency, because he was headed that way. And there was a quote here in this news article that McCain had said in an interview back in 2009 after Kennedy's death, Ted Kennedy had this unique way of doing hand-to-hand combat on the floor of the Senate. And they were close friends. They were. And yeah, he had a unique way because he said one thing and did another. And McCain was the same way. It's interesting how the media has just praised McCain, oh, up and down, left and right, like you said, a war hero, and a great stalwart of Americanism. And it just, it's, talk about false news and fake media. It's exactly what that is. It really is. You know, it's interesting, this, you know, Hollywood sure supports the left and the leftist politicians because they're all they're on the same team, not to make America great again, but to destroy America, and because that's what they are. They have a new movie out, I don't know the title of, but it's a new movie about Neil Armstrong. And, you know, the going to the moon, supposedly first man walk on the moon. And I know there's a lot of controversy with that as well, not going there. But one of the things that they're doing is they are not, you know, supposedly Neil Armstrong, first man to walk on the moon, one small step for mankind, you know, all that good stuff, and planted an American flag there. Well, one thing that they're very adamant about is that they are not showing the U.S. flag when they go and talk about this moon landing and show it. And it's, you know, they come back and say, well, it was for all of us, not just the United States. And what they do is they I think that's another example of how the left and how the Antichrist Hollywood crowd rewrites our history. You know, just in so many different ways, but I think that's just the latest, because this next generation that comes up, the generation that's here now, they've been brought up without God in the home, without God in the school, without God in the place of business, without God in the courts, without God in the workplace. And so they just, you know, they believe, this dumbed down, these dumbed down generations, when they see this stuff, that's what they believe.
Is that Hollywood's losing its grasp over the people. You can see that.
I think it is.
A lot of these movies are starting to fail. I think it was Kevin Spacey who was brought out as basically a rapist. I think a queer too, if I remember right. Pretty sure it was a queer. But anyways, like his opening day. I think they said it made like less than $1,000. I think it was.
Yeah, it was like $256 or something like that.
Praise God!
That's what I read.
Praise God!
That's awesome.
Yeah, their whole miserable. Their sorcery is ceasing. It is. They're still trying. You know, they do their best to rewrite history to get their, their leftist socialist agenda out as much as possible. But the prayers of the saints are more effective. You know, when we pray that pistol prayer for the DC sorcery to cease, I think it applies to Hollywood as well, because DC and Hollywood, I think, are two sides to the same coin. I really do. The way that they, they desire to be tied together. Anyway.
Well, and I think we're seeing a lot of additional fallout in these social media situations in regards to this battle for the mind.
They're cutting their own throat and they don't know it.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, and we've seen so much. I mean, if it's all phony and it's all fake, and I know some of it is. I mean, obviously we all do. There's some of it's like, wow, really? But the point is, God's people do have the spirit of discernment. And some of them exercise it well enough for it to be a well-muscled part of their, you know, being. And when you read some of those things, you know that. And so they're obviously afraid of it. You know, they have great fear over that, enough that that they want to, you know, cut that off. They want to censor it. They want to shut those people down. And because all it takes is, and I've noticed this when you talk to people, if you can, you oftentimes gain more ground with people by asking questions than you do by telling them something. You know, I mean, it's like if you can get them to realize that was one of Satan's lies or something through some of those entities, the next question that would come to their reasoning mind would be the fact that, what else have they lied about, you know? And just that little sliver of light, you know, it's not long and the corners of the room are brought to light and all those deeds are exposed simply because of questions. And if we look at Christ's example, just like when he was asked, you know, who he paid taxes to or one thing or another, he answered him with a question. You know, he said, well, show me the money, you know, and the questions are what make people wake up and begin to find the truth, you know, and to find God and to find his ways. And we see that going on, and that's what those things have done, that awakening of the mind through these, a lot of these networks like YouTube or Twitter or whatever. There are people out there crying in the wilderness. I mean, and you know, and talking about what goes on, and they're so afraid of them that they, you know, discredit them, and that they, you know, put them down, and eventually they get censored. They just get their account cut off. But our people, being what they are, they tend to dig harder when something like that happens. So it's an interesting scenario. And the lashback has been, there have been new groups starting, new sites that are much more controlled by God's people or by people who have a questioning mind and who want to see some of that go on. And yes, you're always going to have some of those people in there who have false information or have, you know, wacky stuff going on. But
think of a Facebook type environment that's Christian, where it was people sharing prayer requests and scriptures and things like that. What a difference that would make. I was just thinking the same thing, Tim, that now that Facebook's being exposed and all these other companies that, hell, I don't even know what, there's so many of them anymore.
But, yeah, exactly.
If someone had the wherewithal to create something that was a Christian environment, maybe they're out there. I don't know. I don't do any of that social media stuff. But I think that would be a good thing. I was looking at, I think one of the most major blows to the enemy as far as the physical realm has been the fact that our president has exposed the fake news, you know, the fake media. And they,
yeah,
they're
sort
just,
of like.
Their heads are exploding. But it's... you know, the thing I like most about our president is the fact that he's willing to say the things that we've been thinking for, or that we've known for 20 years. And some people say, well, he tweets too much, and the stuff he tweets isn't proper, and this and that. And I said, what do you mean it isn't proper? You realize that because he tweets, they cannot censor what he says, and they can't take it. They just absolutely cannot stand the fact that he puts out the truth on those tweets. So really, those tweets are important.
Yeah, and he does it very unapologetically. You know, I laugh when he's doing some of the press conferences or the press is around, and Yeah. CNN, fake news. Yeah.
Well, he's not apology. He's not a politician. He's a businessman.
Yeah, he'll even call on him. He'll say, fake news, CNN, go ahead.
Fake news, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, I think Jason sent out an article here last week, and I've heard about this sometime around Christmas last year, but I believe that for the most part, the president, as the commander-in-chief, has the military behind him, and a lot of the military is still patriotic, God-fearing people. And I read an article that he is no longer trusting in the Secret Service to protect him, which is probably one of the smartest things he can do. And he's got ex-Marines and SEALs that are his security detail. But, you know, the enemy can't figure out, I don't think, is why he hasn't fallen. They've used every single thing that they can.
Yep.
And I believe they've even tried to take out him and his family. There was a couple of incidents of helicopter engine failures that normally would have brought a helicopter down. But by God's grace, I believe, you know, they weren't successful in their attempts. But it's so important that we, the true Christian followers of Jesus Christ, continue to pray for protection for our president, guardian angels and warring angels, and not only him, but his wife, Melania, son, Baron, and all of those that are his. I mean, you know, it's questionable whether his son-in-law, Jared, is his. His daughter is a victim of indoctrination, no doubt about that. But bottom line is there's some good people there that are trying to restore the government.
Absolutely.
I think another thing that's important is it's coming out lately that, I don't know if you've seen this, but there's a lot of reports that are not necessarily behind the scenes anymore, that Obama was a Muslim and that his goal was to destroy the country. And anyways, the thing I was getting to was it's very possible that I know for a fact, I've seen the paperwork, at least on the internet, but it appears to be legitimate forms, that there's somewhere in the neighborhood of 6,000 sealed indictments. I think it's even the number's grown from there, all across the country in different states, and it lists how many are in each state. And typically, I guess for a year, the number is somewhere in the 1,200 range. So the fact that there's so many sealed indictments is encouraging, plus the fact that what I had heard was, and what I saw in the article, was that they're forming military tribunals to basically try these people, some for treason. A lot in the Obamanation administration, pretty much all of them in the Obama administration, were treasonous. And I think that's encouraging, and I think we need to continue to pray that the Lord sends confusion into the camp of the enemy and causes them to fall in the pits that they dig and be ensnared in the traps that they lay. I would love to see them be responsible for paying back all the money that was wasted with this Russian probe with Mueller. And so good things are happening, but I mean, it's a spiritual warfare, and it's good versus evil. I hope to talk a little bit about that tomorrow, but the enemy has power too. That's what we need to realize. We get our power from our God, God Almighty, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, through prayer and through praise and worship and fasting, and they get their power through pain and suffering and death. And as long as we have abortion in the land, they're still going to have a certain amount of power, and it's not just a regular power, it's a supernatural power. I think a lot of times we forget that Lucifer, who is the devil, Satan, he was God's right-hand man, and I'm sure he was bestowed with a certain amount of supernatural power. Now, then again, he only has whatever the Lord's given him, but and we, greater is he that is for us than all those that are against us, and no weapon formed against us shall prosper. So we need to stand on those things.
Amen. Amen. You know, Luke 10:19, you talk about power. Jesus Christ said, "Behold, I have given you." And that's you, Tim, and you, John, and me, and the remnant out there. I have given you. This is, he's talking to the 70 that have returned, that it says returned with joy. I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. It doesn't say over some of the power of the enemy. It doesn't say the power that if you're, you know, if you're doing this, or the power of the enemy when they do that. It says all the power of the enemy. And they're talking about the demons being subject to us in Jesus' name.
And the enemy knows it.
And the enemy knows that. And that's why they hate the name of Jesus. That's why they hate it. They have done their best to get it out of the public consciousness because they know they are defeated in that name. And it goes on, verse 21 there in Luke 10 says, I praise you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. And folks, that's why you got to read your Bible. That's one of the big reasons, because if you don't, you don't see this kind of stuff. You don't see what God really says. You don't see how God really is. You don't see the things that Jesus said if you just listen to that Judeo-Christian mamby-pamby on Sunday telling you just to love, 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 love. All we need is love, love, love. Just like the Beatles, they had it right. Love, love. No, not at all. But we are to be in prayer, and we are to be in Jesus' name. And you mentioned earlier, John, about praying for our president and what those prayers are done. First Timothy, Paul's letter to Timothy, 1 Timothy 2, it says, first of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority. And that means our governors, and that means our president, and that means our mayors. And that means our leaders in the church as well, but all who are in authority, because that's what it is. You know, that's the authority that they are in. And we are to pray for them. And when we do, it says, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. Well, who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want that? I sure think that it's, you know, we absolutely, that we lead a more godly and more dignified life now than we did under the previous administration. I think so. I think many do. It goes on and said, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. And so it's what the Word says. Believe it or not, if you don't like it, you know, you can go down and buy a Sharpie and mark all that out or say, oh, but or if. You know, Pastor talked about that, the big buts in the kingdom. And you're not going to make it into the kingdom with a big but. Oh, well, I would do this, but, or except. No, that's not what it says. It says that it is good and acceptable in the sight of God to pray for kings and all who are in authority. Petitions and prayers and thanksgivings. And you're absolutely right, John. What would happen if the Christians, the true followers of Jesus Christ, would come united? Doesn't have to be at the same time. Doesn't have to be with the same words. But would pray to God for protection and for guidance for our leaders. Because I don't think it's been done before. But when it is, you know, what would happen? You know, we've certainly been praying. What would happen? You know, we know the protection that comes on families. Not that nothing that bad ever happens, but the protection that comes in families when fathers pray. You know, John, I think of two of your children and that, you know, totaling out of your nice big truck, what was it, just last year, a year before, and your children walked away from it. Praise God. Because God hears and answers the prayers of a righteous. The prayers of a righteous man availeth much, remnant. So you better get righteous. You better get righteous. And you only do that, as John mentioned earlier, in your prayer, I think, John, in that immersion baptism and repentance and returning to God Almighty and His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's the only way to get righteous, is to contact that blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for the, certainly for our sins. And so you better get righteous, remnant. The time is coming. You know, the old Johnny Cash song, let the filthy be filthy still, it quotes Revelation. And those who are holy, be holy still. Because that time is coming. The line is being drawn. And it's getting wider and wider and deeper and deeper. And it's really coming down, you know, to the decision. Choose you this day who you're going to serve. You're going to serve Baal and Balaam and the world and the flesh and that 401k and what gets you, you know, success there? Or are you going to serve Jesus Christ? And that decision is coming down. It really is. Well, guys, we are almost out of time. Want to make sure we get an invitation to church. Guys, we will, in Remnant, we are planning on church tomorrow, starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain Time, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, at scriptures4america.org. And we extend this invitation to you. Come join us at church. You can do it if you just have an internet connection. You can go to the website, scriptures4america.org, and click on the live video stream, or if you don't have a good internet, live audio stream, either way. And join us. Don't forsake the assembly. And we'll have a review of the news. We'll have a timeless pulpit truth that is more applicable today than it was when it was preached. And John, looking forward to your live message. You had a nice teaser out there to let us know what's coming there. And we'll have communion. And it's important for us to have communion, you know. It just really is. There's so much that we do. We always take time for fun and relaxation and work and maybe fishing or hunting, and there's nothing wrong with those things. But we also have to remember to take time to remember our journey with the Lord and to remember what God did for us in His Son, Jesus Christ. We have to take time to remember that. And to kind of reset. And that's what communion does. So we encourage you to join us tomorrow for that as well. Well, Tim, thanks again for getting up and taking time out to join us. And thanks for the comments and Remnant. You. We thank you for tuning in. And guys, we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, shake high. Ha! Ha! Keep rolling, though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them hell's and forever. Knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more,
snake high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep moving. Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
Moving, though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake high. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek.